Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hello, Miss Kristen.
Hello, Miss Carrie.
And hello to our listeners. It has been a while. Sorry for our brief hiatus. But today we are going to talk about parental alienation because April was Parental Alienation Awareness Month. And it was something that I've heard of, but wasn't super familiar. So I've been doing some research and Kristen and I have been discussing. And I think it's something that all of us could use to just to be aware of so that we're conscious of it and try to do our best in our parenting to not do some of these things.
Yes, totally agree. And I think like just so perfect in mom mode, April was the Parental Alienation Month and we're doing this the first day of May.
Yep.
So we're so close to being on time, just a little teensy bit late. So, yeah. But we're doing it.
And we had good intentions to do it in April. It just didn't work out that way. So
okay. Always. That's what's important, the intention.
So I want to start with the definition of what parental alienation is. I think that most of us can kind of figure it out, but it's actually a term that was coined in the 1980s by a psychiatrist. His name was Dr. Richard Gardner. Mm-hmm. And it's really when one parent is attempting to turn the couple's child against the other parent. Typically, at least in my experience, I've seen this with like the bitter female who's hurt because of whatever the circumstances may be, you know, maybe husband cheated, husband left, husband has a new family, whatever it is, and then takes their anger out at the husband or ex-husband on the children and uses it as a pawn or a control mechanism. Mm-hmm. Have you had any experience where you see it in either your practice or in personal life?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's so hard because that's such a good message. And I'm glad we're talking about this because, you know, when you are going through a divorce, it is very painful. And as much as you know, really dislike the other person in the moment, and maybe like in my case, the other person like dislikes you very much, you know, you still are trying to be civil and adults and try to move through the process and not involve the kids at all. So it's hard, honestly, like you and I both know, like being on the receiving end of, you know, of this experience. So I think it can be, you know, men towards women, women towards men, if you're married, not married, whatever. It's just like step of the relation which needs to be dealt with from
right. And I agree with you. It's hard, you know, when you're heartbroken or you're angry or whatever it is, it's really hard to see that person in a light that's positive for your children, because even though they might be a crappy ex-wife or a crappy ex-husband, that doesn't mean that they're also a crappy parent. But those lines are very gray in mm-hmm. between, and it gets hard to see. And I can definitely appreciate
yes.
that.
Yeah.
But you know, we always talk about on this podcast is stepping up in parenting. So I think that this is a good thing to be aware of, because you know, you might want to say when you're pissed off because your ex did whatever, well, you're not going to get Susie on Wednesday. But really, the only person that's hurting is Susie.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Absolutely. And I understand, you know, because parenting is so much negotiation anyway, that the, you know, the last person you want to negotiate with is somebody that you're angry with. But I think just knowing, you know, both of us personally and, you know, me professionally, seeing the impact on kids when it's not amicable is is way worse. You know, it takes a little bit of effort to, you know, be neutral. Right. You don't have
and
to
I think,
be,
so,
you know,
as
amazing
I was researching
best friends.
This a little
just
bit,
don't
there's
be, like,
apparently three
to
levels
it.
Of alienation. And I think I can admit that we've probably all done in this process of, mm-hmm. you know, parenting and co-parenting, we've all probably done some level of the first one, which is called naive alienation, where it's defined as passive comments that are disparaging the other parent. So it's not outright like, you know, you can't spend time with your child or your dad's an awful person or your mom's an awful person, but it's just, you know, those sly side comments like, well, why don't you ask mom that? Or why don't you get mom to do that? Cause she makes more money, you know, just small comments like that. I can admit that I've definitely done that both with my ex-husband and with my husband's ex-wife. Like, I think that that's kind of one of those things that,
yeah,
I shouldn't do, but I definitely have done.
Yeah, and I agree with you because I, you know, have been there too. Even simple things like, you know, you show up to the meeting spot first and it's like, well, you know, your dad's always late, you know, like that definitely doesn't need to be said. But in that moment when you're frustrated and, you know, you've been waiting around and you're hustling, trying to get all, you know, the kids together and get there on time, it feels just like, oh, this is just, you know, it's like disrespectful and there's nothing you can do about it because you're not in a relationship with the other person. So there doesn't have to be that high level of respect. So I agree with you. I think sometimes it's just, you know, when we're sort of like at the end of our rope of
yes. And I think that,
that like
something to think about in
the
those,
other person, that those
in this instance is
out.
When, you know, typically you monitor what you say more as your children get older, right? So when our kids are babies and they're in the carrier or they're in a stroller, like we talk freely, we talk to our friends, we talk to whoever, and you don't really have to worry about it. And I think it's good to mention that, you know, even though your kids may or may not be small when you first separate, they're listening and you have to pay attention. So you might be able to get away with making those comments when the kid's in the carrier, but when they're two, they're listening and not repeating it to the other parent. So just something to be mindful of as well. As they're getting older, they're definitely listening, even if you think they aren't.
Yeah. Right. I think that's a good point. So not only like, do you just not want to put that negativity out in the world and like tap into that, but yeah, your kids are definitely listening and absorbing, and that like clouds how they're thinking about their other parent, which, you know, they might be a phenomenal parent. It doesn't mean, you know, just because they're not a good partner or you weren't in a good place partner wise
yes,
that they're
and
not,
you know,
a
I
good
think that it always comes
to
back
child.
To
so
putting
I
your
do
kids
think that's
first, because we all can get wrapped up in the moment and wrapped up in, you know, being angry or hurt by the other adult. But at the end of the day, if we're making all these negative comments here and there, you're going to create that drift between the kids. And they're then later on, as they, you know, I have older ones now, they're not going to tell you things because they're afraid it's going to hurt your feelings, or they're not going to share with you what they did at mom's house over the weekend because they don't want it. They create very separate lives.
Yeah, right. So if they sense that from the beginning, that only just that divide really deepens, as opposed to, you know, you have two separate lives, but it's cool to share about it. You know, like I think you and I have both gone through that experience of even when news comes up and you're like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that, you know, that you really like push through it and say, oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad you did that really cool thing. Even though there might be a little bit of jealousy in there, like you wish you were doing that with your kid, or, you know, you feel kind of left out because you're not doing that with them anymore. So, you know, it really does take a conscious effort to be positive and create that all the time. I mean, that to me is just like a daily existence, when especially when there's new girlfriends involved, if there's new babies that are involved, you know, that might hit
exactly.
You on a really,
yeah, couldn't
like,
be more true. And it,
level,
you're right, it's exactly,
it's not
a conscious
about
effort.
You anymore.
So
it's about,
you know,
your kid.
One thing that's been helping me personally lately is listening to other podcasts. I've been reading a lot of like stepmom things. I'm on a couple of Facebook pages, and it just, you know, so the other night something happened that really upset me, but I didn't even really want to tell my husband about it because I felt like I just didn't want to put it in his head that it, because it, you know, it was one of those things where my feelings got hurt and it wasn't something that would even bother him. So I, you know, shared with you and I shared with a stepmom club group that I'm in on Facebook. And I really got a lot of good feedback and it helped me work through it so that, you know, the next morning I talked to my stepdaughter and I just said, you know, I'm really glad that you're doing this, even though that's not how I felt at all. That's what I told her because I didn't want her to feel weird about it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's so important because then the next time something like that happens, you know, she's going to feel like the atmosphere is right. Good so that she can share that with you and you can be, you know, seemingly genuinely happy for her. And it's not like, you know, like we don't need to make it more complicated for the kids where they're wondering with each comment, oh, how is this going to, you know, land or how's that going to impact somebody? That's really not their job to be, you know, thinking about and protecting adults own emotions. That's way beyond the scope.
So then the second level of alienation is called active alienation, where your one parent is actually creating a private bond with the child or children to specifically not share or withhold things from the other parent. So, okay, we're going to go do this, but don't tell dad or don't tell mom. And I think this one's like even obviously we're getting more extreme. So this one's worse because you're now like teaching the kid to lie or withhold things from their other parent.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I can look back early on, you know, with my older daughter where I just felt really paranoid about sharing, you know, too much with my ex. And honestly, it was probably mostly created in my own head. There was never like a threat or anything like that of that there was going to be a consequence if she knew. Like, I think I didn't even like tell him that she was in gymnastics or something stupid. So I just felt like, oh, okay, we need to, you know, really keep this separate. I don't want him knowing anything about what's going on. You know, like I unfriended all like our mutual friends and looking back on it, I definitely did not need to do that. It was just where I was at emotionally. And thank God I moved from that place. And now I know I don't have to do that again. So I think, and you and I know some mutual people where they were in that place as well of keeping, you know, things kind of like secret and private. But the goal being that you are going to share more going forward. So for me, it's sort of just like a phase that the parent goes through that's hopefully not permanent.
You know, going out of your way to say to your child, don't tell mom or don't tell dad, and just kind of like not talking about it and not focusing on it. So, you know, the mutual friend that we have that, you know, was specifically, you know, just trying to keep her private life private, I don't think there was any of the like, don't tell, just kind of like didn't focus on it, just made sure like everything was normal and happy. And, you know, kids are going to tell if people ask. And that's a, you know, another good point that I probably could say we've both done, at least when the kids were young, is you don't necessarily interrogate, but we definitely ask questions when your child comes home from the other parent's house. Like, what'd you do? Where'd you go? Who are you with? Well, what was that like? And, you know, I've always tried to keep it on just like a calm, like relaxed level, like just add genuine curiosity about where my kid was when he wasn't with me. But it can easily step up into like an interrogation, right? Where you're like, really want to know exactly what happened in the other house.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, like just the emotional state that I get into when I'm in interrogation mode is not something I really want to like tap into that much. So I know with my older daughter, when she would come home, I would, and she would be like a great CIA agent because you can't crack her. So I'd ask her something and she'd just be like, yeah. And yesterday we, you know, went skiing and I'm like, okay, it's July. That's obviously not true. So, you know, it's completely like bizarre answer. So, you know, I felt like the more I tried to like figure out what she was doing and who they were with and, you know, it was leaving me feeling, I don't know, like less than or something like that. And I just, so now honestly, like with both my girls, I just say like, how was your day? And then I start from where I am, because it, in the end, it really doesn't matter what they're doing. Are they safe? Do they look relatively clean? You know, they don't have any like obvious injuries or anything like that. They've been fed in the last couple of days. That's really all that matters. And, you know, the judge, one of the times that I went through, you know, some like revisions of our custody, basically communicated that to me, that you don't really have the right to know everything that's going on in the other person's life when they have your child. They're a competent adult. So basically, like, I kind of like knock it off, you know, like that's not your right anymore. So I really try to take that and not even get into that emotional space, because yeah, it's not good for me.
Fortunately, in my situation with my son, like, because my ex and I get along just fine, so like we talk all the time when my son's with him. Like, he'll text me back and forth, hey, we're doing this today. I'll call my son and I'll get to FaceTime. He'll tell me all about his day. And I don't know if that's just like my personality, but I really like knowing with everybody that's close to me, you know, not even just my children, but like, what'd you do today? Like, I want to know details. And I always wonder, this is just sidebar, but I always wonder if it's because like growing up, I was an only child and I never had that like really close-knit yeah. relationship with like a sibling or something. Like, I had good girlfriends, but it's different when you're like with someone all the time that you live with. So I feel like I always seek that out in my children. Like, I want to know everything you did today. And it's hard right. now in my life to actually have all that information, because there's so many of them that I can't like spend that much time talking to them and gleaning everything. But I really try to like, who just sit with at lunch today, like who, what'd you guys talk about, and I try to just get all those like little personal details. So when my son's with my ex, like, we do, I mean, and I don't know where they are every second, and I totally trust him and his girlfriend, and I don't worry about it, but I still do like to know.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that's cool. And also, because your son's a little older, you're right. Like, he can FaceTime and he can, you know, tell you all that stuff. It's harder for a little kid to ask them all the details because they don't really care to share that, or they just don't have like that concept. But, and that's cool. I think that's how your kids know that you care about them and you're interested, is because you do ask the details. Like, you really do want to know what they've been up to. So I think that that's nice. And you know where right. that comes so from, of just, you know, like then, getting, you know, information. What would your advice be? Equals, so like, yeah, being,
you can
close.
Ask your kids questions without like taking it to an interrogation level, but also, how do you handle it when you're, you know, you can tell your kids uncomfortable because they don't want to tell you something, and you find out that, oh, well, daddy or mommy told me not to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you, just don't tell them. Like, I've actually had that happen. Well, don't tell them I told you. And it could be something small, or it could be something big. And like, then you're, here you are in that alienation stage.
Yeah. So what's funny. Yeah. I just had a client the other day who is going through a divorce, and he was like back in his house. He had moved out. He was back in his house, you know, staying with one of his kids, 'cause the ex-wife was away with the other kid. And he was like, and I was looking for their passports and realized like they weren't where in the safe. And so I thought, you know, like, what is she up to? What is she doing? You know, like, is she going on vacation and she's not telling me? And, you know, I just thought, like, again, I guess there's some things that, you know, clearly if their kids are getting taken out of the country, you need to know that heads up, but you really need. So, I guess like for me, I think about, well, what on the adult level is the motivation of why they would tell the children, you know, don't tell. So, and just try to figure it out that way. Are they trying to be hurtful? Are they trying, you know, is there like some anxiety there about what your response is going to be? Like, how can you kind of like work that out in a more healthy way? But what did you do? Like, when the kids said, oh, like they didn't want me to tell you, so don't say anything.
Unfortunately, in our case, and this actually still goes on currently, mm-hmm. there's still legal issues. So there are some things that like you don't want to get back to the other parent. Mm. And that's hard. So we kind of, lately what we've been doing is not telling the kids, because I don't want to put them in the position where they have to lie.
Right.
I don't want to put them in the position where I have to say, don't say. So we just don't tell them, which then, like, just recently we went on vacation, just my husband and I, for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And we really didn't want to share that information because we didn't want to go back to the other parent.
Yeah.
So we really just, like, didn't say until we were already there. And they were like, where are you? You know, and we're like, well, I guess we kind of have to tell them now. You know, all the little kids were covered and, you know, it wasn't a childcare issue. Just they were like, we don't even know where you are.
But yes.
That felt weird too. Like, I felt that I was lying to them.
Right. But if you tell them ahead of time, I totally get that, you know, then how is that going to be perceived by the other adult of like, oh, well, vacation now, you can spend money now, like, who's watching the kids, you know, when they're on your time and you have it covered, that is fine, that's totally acceptable. But it can be interpreted as like, oh, well, you don't really care about the kids, you know, like, I could see that really getting moved into a bad direction. So it's very difficult because it puts so much anxiety on you of, are we gonna tell the kids, are we not going to tell the kids, like, what's that fallout when they find out? Or, you know, what's the fallout if we tell them ahead of time and then they tell the other parent? It is really complicated
for sure. And, you know, I like that there's, like, different levels of this as I was researching it, because I think you can kind of easily fall into one or all of them. The third and, like, most serious level is called obsessive alienation, and this one I can say that has not happened to us, thankfully. But it's actually like aggressive manipulation of the child to alienate them. So, you know, if you're at mom's and she's drinking, make sure you call me because I need to call the police.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Like, you know, like serious. And this happened to a friend of mine. The ex called the cops and said, you know, he's doing drugs. And of course the police have to, like, investigate it. And he's never done drugs in his life, but, you know, they have to investigate it, and they got restraining orders, and it was like a huge mess.
Wow.
Which is, you know, again, going off on another tangent, but that would be more of like an obsessive and really hard to deal with when you're the other parent trying to, like, you know, be a good parent and take care of your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure we've all heard stories, or we all know of people, you know, that are in those, like, custody battles like that. And it is terrible. And I guess, you know, for me, the way that I, because, you know, like, it's very strategic, and I always feel like, okay, it's like a chess match. You kind of have to look a few moves ahead, and some things you have to, you know, suck up. Like, you know, some things, like, get communicated that are insulting, some things that get communicated, like, may feel like a little threatening, and you can respond to it, but know that, okay, we're taking this to another level. Or you can just let it ride and diffuse, because we don't want to get to that point where everything we do, you know, police are being called and DIFAS is being called. That's a nightmare that nobody wants to deal with. So that's just how I think about it, is, you know, you can really, in any of these situations and any decision, it can, you know, get better, or it can get way, way worse. And it's really like a long game. So just in the short term, you have to sometimes suck it up.
Yeah. I think, you know, those are the three levels of the alienation that I found, but one of the things that I see almost all the time, I think in, I don't want to say all divorce relationships, but definitely a lot of them, is using time with the other child to, you know, alienate. And I didn't realize that that was a form of alienation, but, you know, we talked about this before, how the right of first refusal. So if you're going away and your child needs to be covered, like, obviously your first call should be to your ex or the other parent so that they can have time with the kid. But a lot of times that's not the case. And even something like,
yeah,
I don't want to say it's small, but something simple like that, that is a form of alienation, because you're not fostering that relationship with the child and the parent.
I know. And I feel like I'm kind of in that a little bit right now, where it's so hard because just the environment isn't such that, like, even communication is good. So to say, oh, hey, I have this, like, thing to go to at night. Do you want to keep our kid So you get a little extra time, like that feels like there's going to be, I don't know, like a consequence to that. Whereas like in another situation, I'm totally like, oh, hey, like before I ask my mom, do you want, you know, our kid? Because then you guys can spend a little extra time. It's not your night, but I'm not going to be around anyway. So I feel like I have like both things happening in my life, and it is alienation, because I know that there are times when, you know, the other parent is working and like I wasn't offered to be with our kid, you know, that I guess another family member is watching.
Yeah. Them. And I've had that one happen one's a tough one, because you're like, well, listen, I don't mind like, to phrase it this way, giving up my time if it's for the other parent, but I don't want to give up my time so they can be with like Aunt Jo. You know what I mean?
But right.
We've talked about that before too. Like as our kids are getting older, you realize, okay, it's okay. Like they're with their dad or they're with their mom today, and mom has something to do, so they're going to be with their aunt. But it's still good that they get to spend time with their aunt or their grandmom or whoever, as long as it's not like true. That every time.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with you. It is true, because that. My sister-in-law, or I'll ask, you know, a really good mom friend or something like that for a few hours, and it's just easier for me to ask like people in our network versus like asking the other parent sometimes, just because it comes with so much more.
And I think, you know, I know you know, and it's not, you're not doing trouble. That out of a place of spite or trying to do any damage to your child or the relationship. It's probably easier on driving and location wise, and B, you know, right, it's not worth the fight. You're not, why do something helpful and nice when it's not going to be met the same way?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, you know, for me, just knowing like at some point, that probably will be a conscious effort that I have to make of like, okay, even if it is a fight, maybe I will get more in the end by offering this, and maybe it will start being reciprocated. Like somebody has to be the, you know, the better person first. So,
one thing, I talked to a couple people as I was preparing for this a little bit that are going through this process. And I feel like the time thing is the most frustrating for me personally, because I almost want to say like, how dare you withhold time from their child from them because you're angry. Like I can't, it's really hard for me to wrap my head around parents doing that. Like, so one of our friends is going through this, and they have two children, and, you know, it was dad's decision to get divorced, and mom's not happy about it, and is completely turning the kids against dad, like saying all kinds of awful things. So now they don't want to go see dad. So the kids are actually saying to dad, and I want to say they're like 10 and 13, 11, 14, something like that, but they're saying, no, I don't want to come see you. Even though for the last 10 years, they've been super close, like great relationships, super involved, like great father. And now on a dime, they're believing mom because she's creating this alienation. And, you know, dad is just like, what do I do?
Yeah, I think it's so hard because that age anyway is difficult, you know, like parents and kids, like, you know, girls are a little bit moody, and like you find, you know, your mom is annoying or your dad is annoying. I think what's really hard is, you know, going through a divorce in your like, you know, teens, like you're sort of like giving your kids the opportunity to like split up the parents. Cause I'm sure like the guy, if he's doing everything he has been doing for the last 10 years, there's nothing different about the relationship that the kids would all of a sudden object to being with him. It is the, you know, the filter that the mom is putting on everything. So, you know, I would say just for the dad to just like keep hanging in there. And I've had this discussion a lot of times because, you know, I work with veterans. So I work with a lot of males, and having that alienation experience where they feel like, well, you know, my kid didn't call me, so I guess they don't care. And I'm like, no, you're the adult. You have to keep calling them, keep sending them cards. Like, you know, some people have like the cards sent back to them in the mail, like that level of alienation. But I know, you know, as hearing from the children as well, like, they'll get through it. They'll get past that point of feeling like they, you know, have more of an allegiance from one parent to another. So just keep calling, keep sending the stuff, keep trying to, you know, set up those family dates and lunches and stuff like that. And eventually you'll break through it. It might be years, honestly, but, you know, it's worth it. It's your kid.
I think that's great advice, because that's so hard when you're going through it. And, you know, I'm sure so many times you want to just give up. I mean, I know, even in, you know, our relationship, my husband many times has said, like, I just can't keep doing this. And I said, but you have to keep doing it. It's your children. Like, you can't just give up because it's pissy and, you know, it's three girls and they don't want to talk to you, and you have to just keep going. And he has, and you know, things are much better now than they were. But I feel like it's just, it's kind of like one of those tunnels that you might not see the end of for, like you said, years, but you can't give up. You have to just keep pushing through it. One thing that I read that I was actually surprised about, and I think, go ahead. Sorry, I think our connection's getting a little bit screwy.
Oh, are no, you okay? I know. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I was reading that I thought was interesting with the older kids, the research has said that you should actually, like, force your kids to go with the other parent even when they don't want to, which I was kind of unsure how I felt about that one, because, you know, at some point they should be able to decide. But I guess if you're really trying to foster that relationship, you should kind of make them go until obviously they're an adult and they can decide for themselves. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's so hard. I mean, because I can see it, you know, on the kid level, because just working with a lot of kids over the years whose parents have been going through divorces, and they, you know, it's awkward, I guess, when the kids don't feel emotionally connected to one of the parents to have to go spend time with them. And then on top of it, you know, there might be one of the parents has a new girlfriend or boyfriend, and those people have kids, or they have kids together. So it is really hard, and to force the kid to say, yeah, you absolutely need to spend like the entire weekend. I guess that would be my compromise, is like, okay, you don't have to spend the whole weekend, but you still need to spend like Sunday, or you still need to, you know, have dinner with mom or dad, you know, every Wednesday night or something. So you're maintaining the contact, but maybe not on the level that makes the kid feel uncomfortable. Because I do think over time, everything fades, and you want that relationship. When you're 21, you're going to be looking for that relationship with both your parents, and you just, you know, you don't have it anymore. So I guess just in some way,
I like that idea, just coming up with some type of compromise that gives your child a voice, like, but at the same time doesn't just, you know, alienate the other parent, so you're still actively trying to foster the relationship. I think that's a good idea. All right, so we are out of time, but I do want to mention there's one of the one of the people I came across, her name is Wendy Perry, that's really active in just getting everybody aware of this parental alienation, and, you know, some resources. She's in Texas, but I will link some resources and references that I found at the bottom of our podcast, and I hope that it was a good discussion, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. We had a lot to say,
and it's daytime. We don't even have wine,
but it turns out we do. That's just, you and I can talk a lot about anything. I know. Oh, you don't? I do. I'm just. I get through my day. So, well, thank you, everyone. We hope we shared something helpful with you. If something resonated with what you're going through, let us know and share our podcast with your friends. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills to blend gracefully. See you next week.
Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, But our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers.